All right, guys. Welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone. And, you know, we've also got a really, really special guest on the show today. Basically, we've got Rich, who was the second place overall winner in the last Adonis Lifestyle, or the last Adonis Transformation Contest. Excuse me. And what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of delve into Rich's mind and kind of talk about some of the things that he went through and some of the maybe a little nuances that he discovered, maybe some kind of mental tricks of the trade that helped kept him on track and stuff like that. So, Rich, man, I really appreciate you being here, buddy.
Yeah, hey, guys. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, cool, man. So, John, I know you've got a kind of list of questions you like to kind of roll down. So why don't you go ahead and start, and let's just go from there.
Okay, Rich, can you give us, first of all, let us know how old you are and how long you've been training before you started on the Adonis systems.
Well, I just turned 40 in May. Started training, my mom was actually into competitive bodybuilding in the 70s and 80s, so I have a pretty good background with weightlifting. I started probably about 16 or 17, so probably off and on, you know, 20 plus years of training.
So you've got... Yeah, so you have a significant background training. And then, so how did you end up with our stuff?
Well, it's kind of a long story. Basically, I kind of let myself go, and I went to the doctors, and some of the numbers were coming up pretty bad. I was getting a little bit heavy, and some of the blood work wasn't too good. Actually, my uncle was getting married, and I went and got fitted for a tuxedo, and when the guy fitted me, it was an awful lot like the scene from Stripes with Bill Murray when he's going in the Army and they measure his waist and he's like arguing with him because his pant size is way smaller. That's kind of how I was, where my pants were, I think, a 34. And when the guy measured me, it was like 38. And I was like, what? And he had to measure me again because I was insistent. Like, there's no way I'm a 38-inch waist. But he's like, well, no, sir. We dress pants, you know, they come up a lot higher on you. So basically, I started looking for different diets online, and I didn't discover you guys first. It was actually Eat Stop Eat, which I guess, with Pilon, and that led me into the Adonis. So I actually started with the whole fasting and dieting thing before I started with the program. The program itself, I don't think I started until the contest started, which was in March.
Okay. Basically, gotcha.
How it went.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people find us through Eat Stop Eat. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, so is that kind of one of the main facets of what you did as far as just diet and nutrition, or did you kind of switch up and just kind of loosen it up all the way around and just find a way to make it work? Was it mostly just 24-hour fasts, or how did that go for you?
Well, I mean, the Eat Stop Eat got me viewing caloric intake totally differently. I mean, I used to always think about it on a daily basis, and sometimes when I would slip, I would just completely slip for the day. And then after I started doing Eat Stop Eat, I would look at it more in a, you know, either multiple days or maybe like in a week time frame. So I started with the fast. The fast probably came less frequent as time went on, and I was just trying to eat less calories. I was just trying to do low calories, probably somewhere around 1,600 calories daily. And then if I had a big eat day, like, say, over the weekend, I would typically eat pretty healthy, say, on a Monday as best as I could, and then on a Tuesday I would fast, because I found that fasting directly after a big eat day was just making me feel nauseous for whatever reason. I thought it was, you know, bad food choices over the weekend or something. But it worked better if I ate a little healthier, and then I went to a fast.
Right.
So all in all, I was probably fasting probably once a week or so. But for the most part, I was really just trying to eat, like I said, 1,600 to 1,800 calories Monday through Friday. And I was definitely more relaxed on the weekends, but not too much so.
And that was leading up to the contest or all through the contest? Like, walk us through the diet through the contest.
Prior to the contest, when I found Eat Stop Eat, I mean, when things were looking pretty ugly for me, when I went to the doctors and my waist and all that kind of stuff, I started... I think it was between Christmas and New Year's, so it was the end of December of 2009. I believe I was 197, and I started Eat Stop Eat, and I was doing some exercising and stuff for sure, and by the time the contest started March 1st, I think I was all the way down to 173. And then from that point on, I started the Adonis Triple Stack, and then continued on with Eat Stop Eat. And just kept tweaking with things on my diet. I probably became a little more lower carb, lower fat, not because I was looking to do that. I was just trying to keep the calories down, and that seemed to be the easiest way for me. I would just, you know, start using more egg whites or non-fat yogurt or whatever, and cutting out breads and pastries and stuff like that completely. So kind of ended up being more like that.
And that was throughout the contest, or, like, did you gradually get a little stricter along the way?
Oh, no, I definitely got stricter along the way. It was just tweaking, you know. So
the
overall concept for me was basically keeping the calories down, and, like, I just kept trying to figure out ways that I could do that and still feel, you know, satisfied and stuff like that. So for me, it's mostly I cut the snacks out. I was probably doing, you know, usually breakfast, lunch, dinner type thing, fasting once a week. It just seemed like if I ate the lower fat and the lower carbs, that seemed to help me a bit maintain the lower. But the overall idea was definitely keeping the calories down.
Right.
It wasn't that I was trying any specific diet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do the same thing with the, because it's so easy to get rid of some calories by going with a lower fat option on something, or it's so easy to find high calorie density foods with a lot of concentrated fat and carbs, so it's easy to, like you said, going with egg whites, it's easy to knock a couple hundred calories out of your day just like that.
Yeah, and it was mostly stuff like that. And, you know, even to this day, like, if I go get a sandwich, I don't get mayonnaise, or I might or might not get cheese, and I won't get any chips, and I'll just have either a diet soda or water with it. And that alone, by knocking out the chips and the mayonnaise, probably cuts out, you know, 300 to 400 calories right there. So just stuff like that.
And it doesn't necessarily affect the satisfaction of the meal, does it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like, I don't know how many people think about this, but not putting cheese on a sandwich or not putting cheese on a sub or a burger, it almost doesn't change the enjoyment of it at all, but it knocks tons of calories out of it.
Well, yeah, depending on the size of the sandwich, it could be easily 100, and mayonnaise are about the same. You know, and chips are usually 200 calories or so. So, I mean, you can knock off 400 calories, 500 calories right there.
Yeah, and I find that all of those things have minimal effect on the satisfaction, because you could still crush a sandwich just without those things. And I don't know, people don't think of that, but I'm glad you brought that up, because it's one thing I do. Especially like the low-fat yogurt. You can get tubs of yogurt that the entire tub, it's a big tub too, and it's still only 200 calories. And people don't think about that either.
I discovered some Greek style yogurt that has, I don't know, 24 grams of protein per serving.
Wow.
And I started doing that a lot. So, and it's funny because it's like the same calorically. It's actually less than some of the protein bars I found. And I think it's basically the same stuff, because with the protein bars, they use a lot of whey protein, which I'm assuming that's what the yogurt is. But it's a lot more satisfying too, the yogurt. But yeah, just things like that, you know. There was a lot of substitution stuff going on. And then on the weekend, if I went out and, you know, did the beer, chicken wings, you know, watching the ball game type thing, I would, you know, like I said, on Monday, I would try to eat pretty well, and then usually fast on Tuesday. It seemed like Tuesday became my fast days.
Right.
More than anything. And I still do that. And a lot of times now what I'll do is I'll just eat light for a few days too. And I've been able to maintain my weight. I think I've dropped my waist a little bit.
End of the contest?
Yeah, I'm right about 150. Like, I weighed myself this morning just to check, because I knew I'd be talking with you guys. I was 157 this morning. At the end of the contest, I was 156, so virtually the same. And my waist this morning was just above 29, and I think I put down at the end of the contest was 29.5. So I've lost probably, you know, close to a half an inch since the end of the contest. And the weight's been the same, so I don't know if I'm carrying my water a little differently or if I've gained any muscle or not, but you know, more or less the same. The shoulders and stuff came in right about the same. I seem to be somewhere between like 49 and 50. So.
Well, those are good. Well, so you've got really good proportions. So how was, you've maintained the proportions. So how, I guess that segues right into my next question, maintaining it. Lots of people have questions about once they get in this kind of shape, you know, what's it like to maintain it? Is it, I don't know, is it challenging? Is it a new way of living? Is it about what you thought it would be? Obviously easier than getting down there in the first place.
Well, much easier than getting down. I still have to watch it a bit, but it actually, all in all, it's been easier than I thought as far as the diet. It seems like no matter what I do, I could, as long as I'm watching it somewhat, it seems like my weight's been pretty much stable. As far as the the muscle mass. You know, I tried to go through the ATS again. That thing's such a bone-crushing workout. I ended up stopping. And then I'm doing build again. Or I'm doing build for the first time, actually. And I'm really enjoying that. I think that's what I'm going to stick with for a while. So, yeah, I've been working out off and on since I was 17. So I think the muscle mass was there for the most part. You know, I definitely gained doing this workout. And, yeah, just with the weight loss stuff, I just basically Monday through Friday I watch, and on the weekends I relax a bit. But it's actually been a little easier than I thought. I think, you know, because if you eat maintenance, and I think my maintenance is probably, I don't know, 2,500 calories a day. I mean, for my height and stuff, I was looking at Pelon stuff. He said I think around 23 would be my max. But I have a job where I walk a lot, you know, probably 5 miles a day or so. So that makes a big difference.
Right, so in that number, you're including your activity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 25. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, if you
It's funny. A lot of people go, oh, yeah, because I have a lot of relatives. They're like, so how'd you do it? And I tell them, I say, well, I only eat, like, you know, maybe 1,800 calories. They're like, oh, that's not enough. And, you know, this book says if you exercise, you should be eating this much. And I'm like, I honestly never count that. I never count my workout or what I'm doing during the day. It's all about the calories. And if I work out, it's just kind of like an added bonus to help me lose weight. So...
Isn't that ironic? Yeah. I mean, but you can put your picture up and you're like, okay, so this was wrong? Like, this didn't work?
Yeah, it is kind of funny, you know. And it was a revolutionary concept for me, the whole idea of doing less with less, because I definitely fell into the trying to always do more where I would, you know, I was doing cardio and I would try to do push-ups and pull-ups and everything else, and I was working out probably an hour and a half to 2 hours a day, but then I would get done working out and I would eat. I drink beer, and I would eat pretty healthy, but I was definitely eating a lot of calories, probably, you know, if I had to guess, 3,000 calories a day. And I kept telling myself, well, if I can only do this, maybe I'll get up early and, you know, go run for a while, or maybe I'll, you know, do an extra whatever. Like at my work, I work in a high-rise, so I'll, you know, at one time I was actually doing 100 flights of commercial stairs, which is just stupid. But, you know, I was just trying everything to lose weight except for doing less. And once I started doing less, I was actually able to do a lot more as far as weight loss and actually probably muscle gain even, you know, because where you could see the results, it was fantastic. So, I mean, that was the biggest thing for me. It saves a lot of time. My commitment to the Adonis thing is probably 4 to 6 hours a week, probably about 6 hours a week with the workouts, and that's it. And then I just eat less throughout the day. So it actually saved me a lot of time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened in North America, but everyone has this more fixing more with more. Like, I have this theory that people think they're, as they grow older, their life needs to, the only sign of success or progress is addition. So you get a bigger house, you get a bigger salary, you have more responsibility at your job, you have 2 cars instead of 1 car, you take more vacation, like everything's more. It seems like all we can think of is success and progress means more. It's just more everything, more clothes, more stuff. And then in this one area, more can only be achieved with less. And no one can actually wrap their head around that. I think people just can't fathom that.
That more than anything has helped me out with this program, because I mean I'm not exaggerating. I was probably doing an hour cardio, probably, you know, half hour of to 45 minutes of body weight type exercises, and I was literally, I mean, at one point I was actually doing like 100 flights of stairs. I'm not kidding, at work. You know, everywhere I went, I was taking the stairs and I would count how many I was doing. And I made it a point, if I wasn't doing that many at break time or lunch, to do the stairs. And I was just cooked. It was just stupid. I mean, I'm almost 40 trying to work out like a, you know, Olympic type athlete. And it was just stupid. And I wasn't losing any weight. I was actually probably gaining weight because I wasn't watching my diet.
Yeah, so think of the overall stress you're putting your system through.
It was insane. I was way more fatigued and tired all the time, irritable. I mean, it was just crazy, you know, stressed out about it, always thinking about it.
Yeah, not only that, because you're sitting in that kind of mindset of I'm doing a lot right now and you're not getting any results, and you all of a sudden you start thinking. I mean, I understand why people don't get any results. You're kind of going in this, I guess, overall mold, because you're doing all this work. And you're like, man, I'm not getting any results. That must mean I got to do double the work. Well, I don't have time to do double the work. Okay, I give up. You know?
Well, it's kind of, it's like,
Well,
it's kind of like what I heard you guys talking about on some previous podcasts about how you kind of naturally eat to, you know, what you need to eat for the day, or was it the BMR or whatever. You naturally
eat to maintenance.
You eat to maintenance. That's normal. Including activity. So that's probably what I was doing for the most part. And you do have to get used to eating under maintenance. There is a little bit of an adjustment there. It's not as, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. And once you get used to that feeling, that almost becomes the norm for me now, where I almost feel like I've overeaten when I'm too satisfied now. I'm kind of used to just being a smudge and hungry throughout the day. I actually feel a little more energetic. You know, not like crazy hungry. Like right now, I'm probably eating about 2,000 calories a day on average. Somewhere around there, you know. And on the weekends, like I said, I'm slacking off a little bit, but that took an adjustment. So probably when I was working out a lot, you know, maybe I was eating 3,500 calories a day or so, but I was definitely eating enough to not lose any weight. And it almost becomes stressful, or I don't know if depressed is the right word, but something happens in your head. You're like, geez, what the hell do I have to do to lose weight? In fact, I remember having a conversation with my girlfriend at the time, and she's like, I don't know anybody who works out like you. And I go, me neither. This is stupid. So
yes.
It wasn't
something not adding
anymore.
Up.
No, not at all. I mean, I was getting strong, I guess. I was probably building some muscle mass, but it was just nuts. But.
So you brought up a good point there. So do you think, would you say to people that going through a transformation contest, well, not even a contest, but just setting a transformation goal, going through it, does that recalibrate, so to speak, how food and eating in your daily routine feels? Like you just said, you're almost used to now eating just at or just below maintenance as compared to you used to be used to eating like well above it.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. It definitely recalibrated. I'm definitely used to I do feel a smudge and hungry all the time, and you kind of get used to that. And it just becomes a way of life, you know. So, and I'm not, like right now, I probably haven't fasted like in 2 or 3 weeks, but I am eating much less than I used to, and it's just some, you know, adjustments that I've made.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, you're talking about how you're eating and stuff like that. I was doing the math the other day. I mean, I think Pilon actually got me onto it, thinking about, and we've talked about the errors before and how many errors are embedded, and even talking about, like John was just saying, you know, as people, we pretty much do a pretty good job of eating around maintenance level. And the reason you know this is because all it takes, let's say if you're just 15% off of your caloric needs for the year, right? So that'd be an extra, let's say if you normally would burn 2,000, that'd put an extra 300 calories a day. Just being 15% off gets you 30 extra pounds. And it's really weird because people feel like that they're overeating, like all, like overweight people, or if you've gained weight or whatever it is, that it must mean that you've been overeating or under exercising by this massive amount. And it really just doesn't happen that way. All it takes is 3 months of going through a bad time, or, you know, or maybe just a year, maybe not even a year, maybe 5 years of just progressively being off.
Well, and that's why people look back after a few years and like, how the hell did I end up 50 pounds over? Like, they just don't get it. And and at no moment seems like was the moment that did it. Or there was no thing you can point at and be like, that did it. So then it becomes sort of not obvious how to undo it. Cause you're like, you don't know how you got there. So you're like, well, I can't retrace my steps. So something, I think that's how people can think it was their metabolism. They're like,
right.
I don't feel like I've eaten differently. I don't feel like I've changed my exercise. I don't feel like not anything's changed, but all of a sudden I'm heavier. So,
yeah, well, it doesn't take much, right? And then, which is a little bit scary, but like through this transformation process, for me, I kind of flipped that on its head. It didn't take that much really to lose. You know, I was only eating, say 20% less than I was, you know, should be for maintenance to lose all the weight. I mean, it really wasn't that bad to go through and lose the weight for me. And, you know, instead of gaining, say, 30 pounds in 1 year, it's really not that hard to lose that 30 pounds in 1 year, you know. And for my case, it was like 40 pounds in, you know, close to 6 months, I think. But,
yeah,
it really wasn't that difficult. It wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be for me.
Yeah,
sure.
That's kind of the next thing I was going to segue into is that's the best part about it. It's because you know, and like I say, I encourage everyone to do this. If you're listening right now, and especially if you've got some weight to lose and you've been wondering what's going on, do the math. Just take 300 calories, multiply it out by 365, and then divide by, you know, 3,500, and you'll see it's about 31 pounds. And you just kind of puts it in perspective, and you're like, okay, now I know. So now you know that. Now you can kind of reframe that to understand what it's going to take. Because just like you said, yes, it did take you that long to get up there, and it only took a minuscule amount to get you up there. But that's what makes it the best thing about losing, because it doesn't take that much time to lose it. I mean, you can literally rip it off and pretty, for most people, I mean, I know I did. You know, when I had time, I wasn't traveling a lot, and I was focused on it. I mean, it's like literally my 30 pounds in, I don't know, 4 months, and that wasn't even working it to the bone. You know, that was maybe a week here, you know, skip a week or two, a week here of just kind of really focusing down on it. And that's really encouraging, I think, a lot of people, especially if that's the case.
Yeah, I think for me it looks like it was about 40 pounds in about 5 months. And now that I'm here, it's not that hard to maintain, and it's totally worth it, right? So once you get down, you're like, I think what's helped me a lot through the maintenance also is all the positive feedback I get from everybody. That definitely keeps you motivated to not want to gain it back type thing. So, and there's a lot of other things that happen too. It's not just the feedback from my interactions. It's also my health is way improved. My energy levels are way up. I could just do a little more every day, and it's just nice.
Oh, it's a good feeling too, because you've got a result. And now that you know that it took a while for you to get up, so it really doesn't feel like there's this huge sense of urgency to really watch over everything that hard at maintenance.
No, there's not.
You know, you just realize this stuff. But the other thing you realize, too, is that if I just kind of keep an eye on everything, I mean, you don't have to be vigorous about it, but if you take a waist measurement, you know, once a week, or take a, you know, weigh yourself once a week or whatever, I mean, if you're 5 pounds up, I mean, well, you can catch it and nip it in the bud really quickly, and you know exactly what to do, and the steps are already laid out. There's nothing to think about. You're like, all right, well, if this is too much for me, I know what to do to get back to where I need to be. It's not going to be a big deal. It might take me 2 weeks. And, you know, it's once you do it once, the stress about the whole situation just totally dissipates.
Yeah, there was only one time I was stressed out. I went through a little bit of a breakup, and I was hanging out with my buddies too much, and we were drinking and eating a little bit too much, and I think I put on like 10 pounds like in like 5 days. And I know it's all water weight, but I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, there was a little bit of having to fast and get that right, but it came right back off, so I was like, oh, that's
sure.
Good. And then after looking at Jason's pictures, that's like my next goal. I want to try to get to that leanness. I think we're the same height, and I might carry a smudge of more muscle than him, but I think he came in at like 148 or something. So I was thinking, yeah, maybe I can drop another 5 pounds or so and see if I can get to that leanness. But so that's going to be my next goal coming up. Just got to get geared up for it.
When both your pictures came in, I was like, well, we got a tight race here. Like when I finally laid them all out and saw both of you guys, you guys looked great. So since the contest, since you've gone through it, can you give us, and I saw your recent post in the forum, it was great, and I don't know how much you want to talk about things like that on the podcast, but just in general, what's kind of changed as far as your mindset, how you view, I guess, yourself and other people and how you view other people's reactions to you, and I guess a bit of people reacting to you. I mean, just in general, the things that have changed that, and your perception.
I think a lot of us like to view our lives in little compartments, and it's just not true. I mean, if you're going through bad times, it affects other areas of your life. So if you have relationship problems, it's probably going to affect you at work, sleep, home life, whatever. And then if it's something like this on a positive, as far as you getting your body in shape and becoming more confident and knowing that you can do this, it's going to affect other areas of your life also in a positive way. And I know I used to kind of think of myself in different little, you know, there's the work me, there's the workout me, there's the relationship me, but, you know, really everything bleeds together. And if you can get a handle on one thing, it definitely can positively influence other areas of your life. So in general, that's what's happened to me. So now my interactions with people are definitely more positive. And, you know, it's funny, everybody, they act like I'm the expert on everything now. It's like, you know, so how'd you lose weight? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And it leads into other things, you know. And
yeah, like they're starting to ask you for insurance advice and stuff, right? And just everything.
yeah, you're like, okay. And like this, you know, this one young lady I've been dating, you know, she's into all kinds of, I don't know, hot yoga and plyometric type stuff. And she's always asking me, well, what do you think about this workout? What do you think about that? And I'm like, I don't know. So it's really kind of funny. But, you know, she looks at my body and she's like, you know, she just assumes that I know all this stuff about that. So, it definitely seems like.
So do you use that power for good or evil?
I'd like to think for good. You know, I could definitely be doing a lot more than I have been. I've had a lot of opportunities, but no, I've been trying to stay on the straight and narrow as best I can. And it's kind of good. It's very, you know, it's flattering and stuff. And then you start to realize, you know, you have a certain amount of responsibility now, too, to people. I mean, they're actually looking for advice. They're actually looking for help. I mean, everybody's searching, you know, and especially with the whole weight loss, getting in shape thing. It seems like everybody's trying to do something. You know, very few people have completely quit. And there's people out there have completely quit and given up. But there's a lot of people out there that are really trying to do something. And, you know, when they see someone lose weight and, you know, put on some muscle and, you know, look good, it's attractive. I mean, when you build this type of body, you are attractive, and that's both for men and women, you know. I mean, guys look at me and they want it, and girls too, you know, and it's so then they want to know how you did it. And then because of that, it just segues into other things. They just assume, it's part of that halo effect you guys are talking about and stuff, you know. You're golden in one way, and it kind of makes you golden in all ways, and at least your perception is. And
it's interesting. I'm thinking the more and more this confidence thing kind of starts to build in, the more we talk about it, the more and more I'm starting to kind of get the feeling that it really reflects from just becoming even more self-sufficient than you already are. So every time you get something in your personal life like this handled, you become more self-sufficient, which makes you more of an alpha type. More of an alpha male. I mean, that's kind of the definition of who, you know, the alpha males are. They're almost, for the most part, just, I don't want to say loners, but just extremely self-sufficient. And that's the other thing about the confidence level that other people see. I'm starting to believe that what they're seeing in your confidence is this self-sufficient, that you don't necessarily, it's a clue that you don't necessarily need anyone else to make it in life. And it's well, really strange.
You inadvertently put yourself into a leadership role.
Yeah,
whether you
right.
like it, people look to you for leadership now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I put in my last blog there, and I was talking about. It kind of just is, you know, you get in this kind of shape. And I was talking about the young lady I've been dating, and, you know, it's just being in her presence helps me out, and me being in her presence, she says, helps her out, and there's nothing really said about it. We're not, like, telling each other to do things. It just is. And, you know, we were talking the other day, and she did bring that up as far as, you know, you make me feel real comfortable. You know, I could tell you're real confident type thing. Like, we were out downtown the other day, and we're walking around, you know, at night and stuff, and she's all, you just have this way of making me feel real comfortable and safe, so... You know, and I'm not doing anything. We're just holding hands, walking, talking. But, you know, I guess it's just the way you carry yourself and the way you come across. And then maybe you do slowly change as you get in better shape, you know. With the positive feedback, maybe that helps you out a bit. And you actually do start to change. I mean, not only your perception changes, but actually who you are. Your confidence level goes up, which does make you more of this alpha type, you know, self-sufficient and stuff like that. That is very attractive to both the, you know, even your male friends too, you know. And definitely the women.
And the thing is, it's weird because the architecture precedes all of it.
Yeah.
Like the, you know what I mean? Like the look and shape of your body starts changing the way, like you said, like people ask you stuff. You haven't even said anything. You're just standing there and people are like, well, he must know.
It is literally like every day. Hey, what do you think about P90X? Or I'm doing this jump type stuff. Or I'm doing, you know, TRX, or I don't even know. The other day I was like, what the hell is TRX? So some other type of, it's like, okay. So, you know, I try to be supportive. Hey, that's great. You're doing stuff. And then I try to bring up Adonis when I can, you know, and the whole, it definitely seems like a lot of people are really trying to do too much all the time. You know, they're searching. They're running around in circles.
Do you almost have the reaction where you sort of don't want to tell them and keep it to, like, keep the secret sort of thing?
No. open now. I'm not, that's not my personality. I get tired of talking about it sometimes, you know. But
sure. Do you run into problems where, like, you tell people what you did and they're like, that can't work?
All the time. It's ridiculous. You just ask me and I tell you, then you say no. It's like, okay, well, why are you asking me? It's just, it's ridiculous. I was at, like, a family barbecue the other day, and I don't know. I think one of my aunts has some type of program they have on the iPod thing. So if you, it breaks everything down. Like if you vacuum, you can eat this many extra calories. If you're doing dishes, it's this. I mean, all this stuff. And then so we were talking about caloric intake and exercise and stuff. And she was basically saying, as low as I'm eating right now, it will put me like in starvation mode. I'm like, whatever. I don't know. What do you want me to say? You know, you're asking me, I'm telling you. Your app's telling you something else, I guess. I don't know. So. It's
just unbelievable that the proof is you're standing right there. Like, she can see the result. You feel fine. Oh, your blood work came back great too, right? And they still deny. I still struggle with that. It's obviously a personal thing. Like, people are afraid to try it. And I mean, I still run into these, but the other day I had the exact same conversation. I was explaining the whole calorie in out thing and some of, just talking about you guys, contest winners, and this girl that was sitting there just fought with me the whole way. And she's just like, nope, that doesn't work. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course it doesn't. Yeah.
Not at all, yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious. You brought the blood work. That was, that was a big thing too for me. I mean, there was kind of like three things that happened all in a row for me to get going on this, was the, the weight gain, the getting fitted for a tux, and my waist is huge, much bigger than I thought. And then when I got some blood work done, it was to the point where the doctor was saying I had the beginning of metabolic disorder or something, where my triglycerides were high, my HDL was low, my LDL was high. And anyway, so where I work, the local health care provider here, they come out every, 4 months or so, and you can get blood work done. It's all connected with the, it's all entered into the computer, and the doctor can look at it and everything else, and it's all done by nurse practitioner. So, they take you, and they do some measurements too. I was kind of shocked. It was the first time I saw that, where they actually take your height and they measure your waist, and there's these different ratios they use. So I think they're looking for under 50% waist to height. But anyways, the triglycerides, my triglycerides went down like, 250 points. My HDL was up like, 15, 16 points, which is huge. I guess HDL is a huge, it's very difficult to raise it, because mine was like 34 and was like 51. And then the LDL was so low, it said NA on my paper. And I go, well, what's NA? And she goes, well, your measurement's so low, our machine doesn't pick up anything lower than like 35 or something. I said, damn. So my doctor, I went and saw my doctor after, and he just couldn't believe it. Just completely shocked. And my blood pressure was, way down. Like, I don't know what it was. It was ridiculous. Like, 110 over like 63 or something. And
yeah, so
rested heart rate. Yeah, my resting heart rate was like in the 40s. And yeah, he was just like, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So
yeah.
That was and that was a side effect. And I know I talked about this. That was something I never even really considered. I was just trying to get in shape as far as my look, and I wasn't really even considering my health as much. I just didn't realize how much of a difference this would make. And
oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm fully of the opinion that a healthy looking body is also a healthy body. And
yeah.
The height, how you were saying they're looking for below 50% height to waist? That is actually the new standard, even beyond BMI. That's kind of becoming the more indicative measurement of markers of disease risk and things like that.
Yeah.
And we've just set that bar a little, even a little higher. We're like, well, how about a golden waist or waist to shoulder ratio? And that's, so I guess I guess you guys have heard me talk about this. I think the closer you get the golden, the closer you are to as good as health you could possibly be in.
Yeah, because you got more muscle mass on you, right? So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I think my waist is, it's below 45 now. And, yeah, the BMI was still high, though. It was kind of funny because I get on the scale, and it's like, okay, I'm like 5'8.5 with my shoes on, and like, I forget what I was, like a little over 160. My BMI, I think, was 26. So I go, okay, I'll take off my shoes, and I lost a little bit of weight, but I lost a little bit of height. My BMI was still the same. So I said, well, just keep the higher, I keep the higher numbers on there. So I thought that was funny. But,
I think it makes sense, though, that a heavily muscled person is at the very upper range of normal BMI bordering on overweight because that you do have all that muscle mass. That makes sense. I mean, the quote normal BMI range is just for people who are lean but don't have not built up lots of muscle.
Right. Yeah, I just find it interesting that I'm just sitting back thinking about this because it's just the funny dichotomy that you're telling everybody what you're doing, and they're like, no way that works. That's bad for you and everything like that. You go to the doctor, he just tells you to keep doing whatever you're doing because it's obviously good for you. That's just funny to me.
Well, everybody wants the magic answer. They don't want to just hear, okay, I lift heavy weights and I have a written program that I follow that's very specific, and then I just eat less. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear I'm on, some type of, fat burning supplement that I found or whatever. You know, and I don't take anything except for creatine, and that's it. That's all I do. So I work out and I eat less. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's the ego, man. I think it's the ego where people, I've had it happen to me, and just, even business-wise and other stuff where you're just sitting there and you don't want to admit that there's an easier solution because that just means you're a moron, right?
For sure. That is kind of funny that you say that because if people are in denial or they don't want to believe what I'm saying, it's actually way simpler. Doing it like this is much simpler than trying to, find some damn supplement that you got to spend a bunch of money on and, trying to do all this crazy exercise, like, work out 2-3 hours a day. I mean, this is way easier. It's way less time. It's less money because you're not buying supplements. You're eating less food. You're spending less money. It just simplifies your life. But it's not glamorous. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is, so.
It's not much of a talking piece around the water cooler. It's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm on my second of just 4 simple workouts, and I just don't eat that much. And people are like, that's not cool. Like, there's nothing to it. I think that those other workouts, like P90X and CrossFit, I think all that stuff is literally to have stuff to talk about. I don't think they care at all about results. All they care about is, oh, man, I almost puked, and that one was so hard. Like, because I listen to, when I'm driving around, I listen to, sports talk radio, and ESPN, all their guys are on P90X right now, and they literally take a 10 or 15-minute segment out of their, not a commercial, but right out of their regular talk, and they just talk about how tough their last P90X workout was and how much it made them want to vomit and how much they were, lightheaded, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, no way, you almost puked and this, and, that's all people want. They just want to talk about a crazy experience. It's kind of like when you're an undergrad and you go out and get bombed, and the next morning you just talk about how bombed you were the night before, and it's such a juvenile thing to do, but it seems like that's what most people who want to live the workout lifestyle but don't really want to put the work in, they would rather just talk about how crazy some particular work. Like, hey, I can design a workout that'll kill you. Like, not just puke, but rip your muscles right from your bones if you want. But that's not the point of a workout. It's not the point.
I think your rages are pretty close to that.
Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, if you want to throw up, just go do about a...
Yeah, do some pyramid, man.
Now
you guys are doing it right now. Those things are actually designed on, a specific way. They're not there to make you puke.
I know. I'm just kidding. They are pretty tough. Going back to that girl I've been dating, she was talking about some of her exercise stuff, and I was like, so what'd you do last night? She's like, well, we get a medicine ball, and it's 10 pounds. They put it over our heads, and we run around in circles, and then we do this, and we do that. She's like, hey, you want to come work out with me? I'm like, no. I have no desire to do that.
Yeah, never. You're never, ever going to catch me running around in circles with a medicine ball.
Yeah, I don't think so. So it's kind of funny. Anyway.
Like, do I dress you up in clown shoots while you do it? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Is it right guard or what?
I don't want to be too hard on the girl.
And there's some kind of bear outfit on a unicycle too. Like, what is this, a circus?
Yeah, she does some crazy stuff. I don't want to be too hard on her because I really like her. So in case you ever
and there's a wee ball.
Anyways,
ball there at the gym.
Speaking of workouts, what did you think of the ATS?
I really like it. I mean, I enjoy working out. I'm one of the guys who really likes to lift weights and push themselves. And while I was looking at the different workouts that you guys sent me, when I saw the ATS, I said, oh, this is cool. I like the superset stuff, and I like the different periodization within the workout and how you switch it up. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was tough at first. I was getting some deep muscle kind of soreness that I've never really experienced at first, especially when with the first 4 weeks when you have the different ways of lifting, especially with the hypertrophy, with the negatives and stuff, I think was really ripping me up pretty good. But those are good. But I tried to go through it the second time, and I'm just too cooked right now. So I think I'm going to do build for 12 weeks, and I'm doing with I think it was Pilon recommended one of the emails as far as adding in a fifth day where you do the something on the burn, like the whole body circuit training, and that was kind of cool. So that seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, when I first developed the programs, we started doing that. My training partners wanted to add in that whole body circuit piece that came out of the burn workout. So we added that as the fifth day. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's cool to mix it up, but the ATS, it's a bone crusher, man. It definitely pushed me. Your workouts, basically, you just have to do them how they're written. I mean, you got to push to the max. If this says a rep of 7, you got to do a rep of 7. Not 8 type thing. I know you guys have talked about this, but with not having a trainer there with you, you have to be disciplined enough to do it as it's written. And if you do it as it's written, it's fantastic. And if you're kind of half-assing it, well, you're going to get a half-assed workout. But doing the ATS as it's written, I think the first few times I did it, and I think I even emailed you, and I was like, man, you got to be in good shape to even try this stuff. It was tough, man.
That's why it's sort of suggested as the advanced once you've gone through the base program. And someone like yourself who's pretty experienced with training should be able to handle it. And I'm glad you brought up what you said about trying to do them twice and it was a bit rough. When I created them as the next level past the base, I never actually considered trying to do the ATS twice in a row either. It's because I haven't tested them. I haven't tried to do them back to back. So I did them for 12 weeks and then I stopped and then I actually went on to, the cluster cycles. And now I want to go back. I'm just testing out. I'm developing a new, base power program for the Donna's 3.0. And then I'm going to go back to the original. So everything that's put in 12 week chunks, never meant to be repeated, but meant to be cycled back through to the beginning. So what you did is basically what I was thinking of when I put it together in the first place.
So do the 12 weeks and then go back to, like I'm doing build right now, so that seems to be working pretty good. Yeah, because you're pretty cooked, man. I don't want to get circuit, tendonitis.
No, you want to get injured either. So there's changes from every 4 weeks, but then there's every 12 weeks when you move from like the base to the ATS to the clusters and then to this new thing I'm building, then you have big changes and 12-week changes. So like by the 3.0, we'll have a year's worth of things to cycle through, and they all should feel very different. So you're never really overtaxing any one style of training to hopefully keep you progressing without ever really running into an injury. Like you said, the ATS were just too much to do back to back.
Yeah, well, cool. Looking forward to it.
So I guess, Howard, you got anything else? I guess we could wind this down. What can you give us? What would you recommend to other guys in your position, like kind of in your sort of demographic? You've been training for a while at your same sort of stage of life, and what would you say to them who are just trying to, do something with themselves as far as getting on the...
Well, from my perspective, from my perspective, stop trying to do more with more, because that's just ridiculous. It just doesn't work. You end up burning yourself out, and you probably at some point, you start getting diminishing returns. And this program simplifies it. It's probably about a six-hour commitment if you're doing it 4 days a week. Don't be afraid to eat less. Don't be afraid of feeling a little different at first, too. It does feel different to eat less at the beginning. I mean, I've said for me it's been kind of easy to do, but it was different, And once you get used to that and get on a roll of that, then it's becomes easier. And, that's about it. Don't be afraid to do it. There's a little bit of, like you're saying, everybody's used to doing more with more, and how could be doing less actually give you better results? But, we can only do so much. Especially someone like myself who's already turning 40, it's like, geez, man, I mean, how much more can I keep doing? But, it's been a great workout, and, I don't know. Eating less calories to cut down. I mean, I'm in a situation where I had a good amount of muscle mass, so I fall into that category. I don't need to worry about building. In fact, when I started the program, I think my shoulders were almost like 53. So I was, you know, I had a lot of fat on them too, but I actually lost a lot of size off my shoulders and my chest cutting down. But my AI kept going way up. I think when I started, my AI was probably 1.3-ish. And by right now, I think it's like 1.7. But my shoulders are smaller. You know, and don't be afraid to be lighter too, you know, because I started out 200-ish and I'm in the 150 range, and all my clothes are, you know, I'm wearing smalls and mediums and stuff. It is kind of different, but.
Yeah, did you have that psychological issue of the idea of being like this whole permission to be lighter thing?
Well, you know, and I knew better because my mom was into bodybuilding before, you know, got all crazy with steroids and stuff, and her partner, who was natural when they would do couples, he was about my size, I think, now. And I remember him. He was always under 150. He was, like, in the 140 range. So I knew better, but I kind of forgot, I guess. And I always thought, okay, when I get down to 170, I'll be fine, and 160. And it's kind of like what everybody else says, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that did take some adjusting. And I had to buy all new clothes twice. So that kind of sucked. So if anybody who's like wants to lose a significant amount of weight, you might want to wait a bit, you know, because I ended up going from like 34 pants down to like, well, now I can fit in like 30s easy, and like, you know, shirts too. I went from, you know, extra large to medium to some of my shirts are even smalls now, which is just nuts. But there was a little bit of that.
I think the shirt thing is an indictment of the other direction, that too much of the population is too big, not that we're too small.
I agree. I was looking at some shirts the other day. I was like, holy shit, people are this big? I mean, it was just I was looking at some Hawaiian size shirts, and it was huge. It was like an extra large or double X or something, but it was like, geez, man. So.
Yeah, unless you're an NFL lineman, there's no one should be in one of those shirts.
But, you know, we're all guys. No one wants to be, you know, known as small, right? So you always want to be at least medium or large. I don't know. I guess there is a psychological thing to that, but I think it's like what you said. They just keep moving the sizes up as people get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, they do it for women. I'm sure they're doing it for. I'm sure it won't be long until there needs to be vanity sizing for guys the same way.
I know this 100% because back in my early 20s, my girlfriend had bought me a Carhartt jacket, and it was a size large, and then I got a new one probably about 2 years ago, and the size difference between those two, it's the exact same model, exact same company, it's like two sizes bigger now. It's insane.
Oh,
side by side.
So it is happening.
It, for sure. Well, at least with that company it is. And like the large then now would be probably at least a medium, if not a small. It's changed that much for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, so that's interesting. You've got some experience with it in male clothes because it's for sure going on with women's clothes. So I guess to wrap up too, what would you kind of, I don't know, a heads up for what happens? I guess your takeaway notes on the changes, you know, the changes that happen psychosocially, I guess,
Be prepared to be the go-to guy for exercise, that's for sure. Because you'll get, I mean, I get it on a daily basis and stuff. And you definitely get approached a lot more. And I'm finding even like with women and stuff, they're a lot more forward to me than they used to be. And I don't know where that's coming from. I guess they like what they see type thing, but it's different. There is an adjustment period. I've gotten used to it now, but, you know, pretty much every interaction I have now is, you know, hey, I'm working out, I'm doing this, hey, I'm doing that, and hey, what do you think about, you know, this girl I'm dating? And, you know, next thing you know, it's, hey, what do you think about work? And what do you think about, it's just, you become a go-to person in a lot of ways. It takes some time to get used to that, because I never was approached, you know, not to this level on all this type of stuff. So.
Yeah, how are you dealing with it? Go ahead.
What's your kind of reaction to it, or how do you deal with it? I remember in your recent post, you kind of said you started understanding the idea of kind of, I don't want to say toning it down, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to kind of have a bit of grace about it. So
this girl I've been taking out, she's like in total, you know, killer shape, right? So I'm kind of seeing it from the other way. It's like, wow, like I need to step my game up a bit to hang with her type stuff. And, you know, she's feeling the same way, which got me to think, you know, I'm kind of seeing it from the other side. So maybe this is how people see me when they're hanging with me. It's like, wow, this guy's in shape. And, you know, and for me to experience that firsthand with the woman I'm with, it kind of helps me have empathy towards other people and a better understanding, I guess, of what's going on, if that makes sense. And I've always tried to be sympathetic and always try to be positive and as far as encouraging people to, you know, exercise and do their best. And I try to do my best when I'm talking to people. I try to get, you know, short with them because it does at times get old. You know, I don't like to talk about exercise all that much. I mean, the whole idea of this is not to have exercise be your life. You know, it's kind of more of, I might enjoy it, but it's more of a means to an end, right? To look good and live your life. It's not, I don't want to be working out like, you know, 6 hours a day type thing. So I don't really want to be talking about it 6 hours a day either. You know, I have a whole other part of me.
It's almost like people think you're more into it than you are.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. All the time. That's all I do. Yeah.
So when you don't dive into the whole, like, hour and a half long talk, they're just like, wait a minute, isn't he more into this?
Well, especially when I say, most people ask me, well, how often do you work out? Well, it's like 4 times a week, and they're like, that's it? You know? I'm working out like 6 times a week, and I'm not getting any results, so it's just, you know, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, two things come up. But number one, people are expecting a seminar from you to explain all the intricacies and everything, and the second thing is that, you know, you really have to, it's uncomfortable toward the beginning because you have to learn how to take compliments. Especially if you're not used to it. And because you start getting a lot of them and it gets really uncomfortable because you don't know what to say.
Yeah, you don't know if you should be returning a compliment back to them or just kind of thanking them. That there is that fine line of like, oh, you look good too. And they don't, you know.
You don't want to seem like patronizing somebody or whatever. But like literally, I mean, I've run into that before where if somebody comes up to you like you haven't seen in a while and they give you a compliment and you're like, shit, I about said something really stupid right now that I probably normally would have said just because I don't know how to take a compliment. And so I had to start thinking about and actually running through my mind, almost getting I know it sounds bad, but almost like a script of just something I could default to. Just so I wouldn't put my foot in my mouth or make it a weird situation because it is different. You know, if you're not used to it, and most people aren't, you know, literally there's a reason that you know, you get in this shape or whatever and you're not going to be used to it. I mean, nobody is. I mean, that's why hardly anybody's in this type of shape. And, you know, that's kind of the second part. Number one, you kind of got to be a little more cognizant of how people react to you, like you've already talked about. Number two, you got to learn how to take compliments because they start coming fast and furious.
Yeah, now that time's gone on, too, I'm kind of used to how I look and how I feel, and I don't realize the type of shape I'm in, I think. I've gotten, you know, because you don't really see yourself all the time. You know what I'm saying? You are who you are type thing. And that takes some time. I have to remind myself occasionally. And for the most part, when I interact with people, it's pretty good. Where I get flustered now is when people just say things out of the blue. Like the other day, I was working downtown doing some physical work outside, setting up some big cords, and I had just a wife beater tank top on. And this lady, who I'm talking with her, and she goes, "Can I just watch you work for a while?" I'm like,
hourly rate.
Yeah, I mean,
That's part of my
what
script.
The hell do
20
you say
bucks.
To that? Yeah. What do
20
I say
bucks.
To that? Yeah, 20 bucks. Yeah, I'll put that in the script.
What? That's exactly what you say. You charge her money. You're like, this isn't free.
It's like,
I mean, it's flattering, but it's like, what the hell do I say? I don't know. So that actually comes up, too, so.
Yeah, it's strange.
Oh, man. All right, well, that's pretty good. I suppose we should wrap this up. Howard, do you have anything else?
No, I mean, it just sounds, like I say, it sounds like, it's just like I was talking to my buddy Brent Smith when I was in L.A. About 6 months ago, and we were just, you know, we were talking about just different things, and I said, you know, it's really hard to try to convey a lot of what we're talking about, just like what we're talking about now, because I know people are sitting there going, yeah, right, there's no way this stuff happens or whatever, but once it happens to you, or you see it firsthand, then you're kind of like, oh wow, And it's a different reality.
Oh, believe me, it definitely happens. It happens all the time now.
Yeah, and you can't.
And the biggest problem is, well, I guess what Howard is trying to say is you can't tell somebody. They have to just live it.
They have to experience, or they would have to be walking with one of us or hanging around with one of us and see it happen and then kind of go, oh, damn. But the unfortunate thing is that there are very few people that are in this type of shape, so you don't really see that.
Well, that one story I just told you, one of my coworkers was working with me, and he's into working out too, and he's like, damn, dude, it's inspiring to him is what he said. And then when that lady walked by us again, he goes, hey, you want to watch him work some more? So, you know.
Right.
So he got to see it firsthand. It was kind of cool, so.
Yeah, that's why I like doing these interviews is because, you know, sometimes I feel like it's not monotonous, but, you know, we're trying to help people out. But, you know, like we say, we can't show you what happens. I know I can write all these different things and I can try to explain it and kind of walk you through it, but it's hard. It's hard to kind of put into words what an experience is. So it's interesting. So I really appreciate you being up here, man.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you guys for putting this program together because, you know, it's really simplified my life. And it's a great workout. I've had a lot of fun with it, and it's actually made my life a lot easier. You know, it's kind of the opposite of what people expect or even what I would expect as far as being complicated and adding. It's been so freeing in a lot of ways. So.
Sure. Yeah, sounds good to me. Johnny, you got anything else, bud?
No, man. I just want to thank Rich for being on with us. That was a great interview. Thanks a lot, bud.
Yeah, no problem. Nice talking with you guys.
Yeah, guys. All right, guys. Well, for John Barbin and Rich, I am Brad Howard, and this is your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.